Friends with Brews.
Clay Daly, how are you?
Splendidly well. How are you?
I'm good. I was going to say this would be a second episode in a row with a guest and not with Peter, but that wouldn't be true because I recorded an episode with Peter earlier this week that's going to go in between.
Oh, is Peter in between the two?
Right, the Peter sandwich. And I feel like it's important for his morale that I allow him to think that I still care about him, and so I'm going to keep that order.
Well, hey, listen, sandwiches go well with tea, don't they? Or brews.
Yes! Let's talk about your tea. What do you got for me?
I got it's a sort of, you know how chais often, a lot of times they have them with low caffeine, but I got a black chai with, it's a chai tea mixed with like black tea. And the cardamom is hitting me hard. It's lovely. Lovely notes of cardamom.
Do you have a brand?
This brand is the Teesta Tea. T-I-E-S-T-A. I normally go to Whole Foods. I usually get the Whole Foods brand, but...
Okay.
You remember the Teavana days when Teavana was still a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I used to go get their stuff, and then, of course, Starbucks decided to shut them down, but whatever. Now that I'm bitter.
Oh, so this is... Do they have multiple... So the here's a spiced chai black tea. Is that a different one than the one you have?
No, that's the one. That's the one I have. Spice. Nice. Yeah, it's really good, actually.
Nice. That sounds good. I may have to get that.
Yeah. What are you brewing over there?
I have a coffee. It's from, I call them, they're a local roaster. I call them Kova, but it's C-O-A-V-A, so Kova might not be the right pronunciation.
Hmm.
But this is called S-O Blend. And I don't know what S-O stands for. It's S.O. So it's, you know, it means something. Anyway, it's, They describe it as the Americas and East Africa, rich chocolatey. This has Honeycrisp apple, dark caramel, and chocolate-covered fruits. And it's really smooth. I like it.
Mm. Chocolate, you said?
Yeah, chocolate.
Nice.
Yeah, Honeycrisp apple, dark caramel, chocolate. I can't, the thing is, the flavors aren't super strong, but that's what I like about this brand is, even with my particular pour-over method, I don't have to try very hard at all to get a nice, smooth, very non-bitter cup of coffee with this brand.
Mm, nice. One day I may try coffee.
You know what? Don't, because it's... I mean, I could... If I wanted to, I could kick the caffeine habit. I would just hate it for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not addicted to that much caffeine, why do it to begin with? If you can function without it... Don't do it. I mean, coffee is enjoyable, but it's probably not worth getting addicted to the caffeine over.
Mm-hmm.
Although, small amounts of coffee are supposed to be... Like, people do drink small amounts of coffee when they're doing, like, endurance activities. But then too much is the opposite effect. It'll make you jittery, and it'll affect your performance.
Right, right. True.
And I get jittery enough just from work.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, so I don't need coffee. I'm jittery enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, jittery enough. That'll be on my tombstone. Should never have had coffee. Was jittery enough.
Yes.
Okay, so what is going on in your podcasting life these days? I've seen instances of you recording with people that look photographically involved.
Yeah, yeah. So my co-host Yvonne Warren from MVP, Most Valuable Photography Podcast, him and I, we actually, you know how they say you're supposed to be consistent to make this work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we've been trying, and it actually has been working every other week.
Imagine that, Clay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Good. Yeah. For people that want to listen to that, where can they find that?
All the podcatchers, just look for Most Valuable Photography Podcast. And you'll find us. I think MVP might bring it up too. I think it does in Spotify at least, which is, you know, the devil. But yeah.
Okay. Looks like, is that still on Anchor? I found an Anchor link.
Yeah, it is still on Anchor, yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's, I only cool. have one show on not Anchor, and that is the Cybercast, which is technically on a break, but it's a very long break.
It's a season. You're in between seasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, like the budget, you know, we can't come to the terms, you know, stuff like that. So.
That's true, yeah. There's some egos at stake, and people need salaries that are outside your capability
exactly.
right now.
Yeah, they went more than $0, so yeah.
Yeah, I get it, yeah. Luckily for me, Peter has never asked for more than $0.
Good.
Yeah.
This show is good. You guys have a good dynamic. I like it.
Thank you.
It's a good energy.
I hope Peter enjoys the dynamic as much as you do. I don't know. There was one day, I can't remember what it was. Oh, he was going to bring something up that I absolutely did not want to talk about. And then he was like, I thought it was fair game since you always roast me on this podcast every time. And I'm like, I do? So that made me have to reexamine myself.
Well, a little bit of roasting. I mean, for a brew show is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Why not?
I mean, Vic used to get roasted by us every now and then.
That's right. If we can roast our coffee beans, I can roast Peter's bean. I'm talking there about not wow. Okay, that went
beans.
Lower than,
Peter,
went lower than
beans,
I thought. Yeah. I don't want to know about Peter's light roast. So I have not talked to you in a long time, honestly.
Last time was on a podcast. Last time was Bubble Short. Did I just
Bubble
say Cybercast?
Yeah.
Bubble Short, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that seems like a show that doesn't exist, but yeah, there's a show called Bubble Short. And yeah, that's the last time we spoke, right?
Are you a subscriber to the multiverse theory? Because I'm thinking it did exist, but maybe people in this... Maybe it's one of those Bernstein Bears things. Maybe it kind of existed, but now it doesn't, and it never did now. I don't know.
You know, you might be right. I, you know what? Actually, I jumped universes. I'm in the wrong one. I apologize.
The sad thing is all of the U.S. political situation seems to be the same in every universe I keep hopping into. It's not getting better.
Not getting better.
But
unfortunately.
What camera gear? What are you using for cameras right now? Like you, on a typical basis? Or what are you getting into recently that I haven't known about?
Well, I mean, you know, still shooting the moon, actually, which is something that I need to do more of because I drive to work early in the morning and then I see the gorgeous moon up there. And, you know, like I make my schedule, right? Like I can go into work at any time I want. So I technically should just walk with my camera, which I do sometimes to work, but I should walk into work with my camera and just pull over and take pictures of the moon, which I have done way in the past, but work is kind of hectic, so I haven't in a while. But yeah, the main camera is a Sony A7R4, which is a beast of a camera with 61 megapixels. I mean, no one really needs 61 megapixels, do they?
Well, people have, throughout the history of humanity, we've always said nobody needs this, that, and the other, but it sure is nice.
It is nice. It is nice. Are you shooting any?
No, I haven't for a long time.
No.
There's a lot of different A7s, aren't there?
There are, yeah. I mean, we have the R, which is resolution. We have the S, which is the video line, which is, I think S stands for sensitive, because they have a sort of better sensitivity in low light. And then you have the plane, which is just, you know, it used to be 24, now it's, I think it's 33. And then they moved off of just being 7s, and then they went to a 9, and then they went to a 1. Yeah.
Interesting.
You know these companies with their numbers. They love their numbers.
I know, yeah. And they always go backwards for the better cameras, the smaller numbers. Yeah,
that they do. Even though the funny thing is that, so you have the A7, right? Then you have the A9, which technically is a better camera than the 7 line, because it's like a A7, but like on steroids. And then they decided, you know what? We're going to follow Nikon and Canon and decide to go A1, which is like the beast of beasts.
Oh my God, I'd hate to... I'm looking at the A7R right now, and A7R4, and Oh my God, I'm afraid to look and see what the A1 costs.
Yeah, trust me. And the thing is that the A7R4 cost what it costs. You know, I mean, I got it on a deal, actually, but... And that's the only reason I picked it up, honestly. I mean, I'm not doing this for a living, right? So I'm not going to go crazy spending, you know, that sort of money, but... It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't as expensive as you see now. But then they had the A7 R5, and that's even more expensive. You know, it's like inflation. Like these companies love to use this as an excuse for, hey, guess what? Things do cost more, but do they cost that much more?
Yeah, do they cost that much more? And do the prices never go back down again? That's the thing about pandemic hit. Everything, like, think about food. How much do you spend anytime you go out now? Like, we can't go out, just the three of us as a family, to any, and I'm not talking fancy restaurants, I'm just talking like good, like we went for Korean the other night, and it was a good restaurant, good Korean food, but
yeah,
three people, yeah, okay, we had quite a bit of food and we took some home, but it wasn't like we stuffed ourselves senseless, and it was $100. I mean, that's just standard now.
Yeah.
And I feel like I feel like some of these other companies have, you know, taken whatever minor supply shortages they've had and they've amped up their prices. And like mirrorless, I thought mirrorless would help the prices. Far from it. I think cameras are way more expensive than ever now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing is that, so we went to mirrorless and the prices were a little bit higher than they should have been, right? But you're like, okay, it's new technology, we'll allow it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the pro cameras on the non-mirrorless side, you know, like a regular SLR, DSLR type of cameras, the pro cameras are costing crazy money, but it's a pro camera. But now you're going over prosumer on the mirrorless, and they're matching the prices of the pro side on the DSLR. Like, you know, they pulled the fast one on us, because technically, yeah, it's supposed to be cheaper to make them. It's supposed to have less moving parts, and therefore it's supposed to last longer, and somehow it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, photography has always been a hobby that you could spend a lot of money if you wanted to, but now it seems a little bit insane. Like, I still have my old Nikon, whatever you want to call it, and I like the kind of camera that you have. I like that very much. And I think, like, I wasn't criticizing or judging you for the price of that camera at all. I think it's a beautiful camera, and I think that's the kind of camera I would love to have. And there's no way that I can, until my daughter gets out of the school situation she's in, there's no way I could ever even think about something like that now, whereas previously I could possibly do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, so if I hadn't gotten the position at work that I had now, I don't think I would have.
Yeah.
It would have been like, hey, nice, but not now.
Right.
You know, eventually, like, I mean, my first A7, I have two A7s. I have a regular A7, and that was also sort of more than I wanted to spend, but it was a deal still, right? Like, so I wait for the deals, right? You know, everyone always jumps on things when they first come out. Like, I wait for things to, because could you imagine if you buy something right away and then you're like, oh, snap, this thing is a lemon? Like, I don't want to be that person, you know?
Right. And that way, later on, you have the option of getting something that's been refurbed, getting something used. You have a lot more options.
Definitely.
And even if the price goes up slightly or remains the same and you decide to buy new, well, that's your choice. And you came to that decision by waiting and thinking about it.
Yep. Like right now, I'm actually thinking about adding a second body. Because, you know, when I do shoot like portrait sessions or, you know, something like that, my two cameras are the A7 R4, which is at 61 megapixels, and then my old A7, which is 24 megapixels. But the issue is that the old A7 system autofocus is just not up to speed. And, you know, like back in the days, DSLRs had a slight advantage over mirrorless cameras in terms of manual focusing, but they don't now because of the punching. You could punch in now. But, you know, old school film cameras had an even better advantage because you had like all these sort of different prisms that you could put on your, you know, in your camera that would help the aids with manual focusing. I don't have that with my old A7, especially because the viewfinder is really low resolution. And then on top of that, autofocus is no good, right? So,
yeah, the viewfinder, I remember the viewfinders used to be problematic. And even on DSLRs, they weren't great, but it didn't matter as much. But then once you got to mirrorless, it started being a bit of a pain for a little while.
Yes, yes. It's better now because you have giant megapixel counts in like the Canon high-end line, the Nikon high-end line, and Sony high-end line. They all have, you know, giant megapixel counts, you know, big screen TVs inside of the viewfinder versus what we used to have.
For sure.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, before the pandemic, my father-in-law, like, I feel like he went and bought another DSLR. He upgraded. He bought a better Nikon DSLR than what he had. And I kind of, I don't know if he cares about mirrorless or not. I don't know what his thinking on that topic is, but I kind of think I would never do that right now. I would never do that again, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see the point in it. To me, that seems like, first of all, part of photography is It is absolutely about the photos. Who cares what the camera is as long as you are having fun taking the photos and you're learning how to get results that you like. But
yep.
Camera gear is fun. And those old DSLRs, they don't excite me at all. Not a bit anymore. And I think that's why I couldn't imagine spending the money on those anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, if so, let's say if I were doing this for a gig, like actual money, right? And I'm doing sports, I could see myself actually going to get a high-end old DSLR for the sports.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Because you like a high-end DSLR is definitely going to be better than a mid-range like Sony A7 or Nikon Z6 or something like that for sports. If you can get the high-end, that, you know, we're talking about like Canon D1D or Nikon D3 or D4, right? That, I could see that. But if you can afford to go like Nikon, you know, like Z3 or, you know, Canon R3, if you can afford it, you'd be better off if you actually are shooting sports. Everything else, I would just be fine with like a regular A7, or, you know, it would be perfectly fine. But when we're talking about sports that I have, are still at the high end of the demanding. I've tried to shoot it, you know, and Chiji shoots it, and you know, he could tell you, you know, all the struggles. I mean, it's not easy, you know. So
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, for sure. There's certain jobs where you do have to. If you're a professional, your job requirements and the ability to do the best job are going to be the primary factor in determining what equipment you'd select, for sure.
For sure, yep.
But no matter what I did, even if I was back into shooting again and I did it every day and I dreamt about it all the time, I wouldn't even get to the point where I would be an interesting amateur. So I could pretty much pick whatever camera gear I wanted within my budget, which is quite limiting. But
there's a lot, you know, like there's a lot of, especially if you're okay with use, right? A lot of some people, for some reason, don't want to buy used cameras. I don't get it. But there are people who are always upgrading, and you could find someone locally and say, hey, you know what? I know you're selling this camera for $500. And I've done this, right? I just bought like a lens that's like a, like it was, so when Sony went from the A mount, which is the DSLR, which is, they actually never had a DSLR really. They had an SLR, which SLT, which is like a translucent mirror inside. It was like an in between a DSLR and mirrorless, right? So they had that system, and that system was the A mount, which is the Konica Minolta old mount that they bought, right? They bought Konica Minolta. So that mount still has a great set of lenses, right? And so I bought an adapter for my Sony A7, and I found a person who was selling this 135 millimeter lens that is, you know, it's brand new. I think it was like $2,000, right? And I think he was selling it with a bunch of stuff for like about $1,000. And I just offered the guy like $450, and he said, yeah, I'll take it, you know? And so I got this amazing lens that just I got for nothing. I mean, people are just wanting to get rid of this stuff sometimes. So like if someone sells it for $500, just say, I'm not lowballing you. I have $400. Will you take it? You know? And if they say yes, you have nothing to lose. If they say yes.
That's true. Yeah. You're just some random guy. If they hate you for the rest of their lives, that's their problem.
So be it.
You know, I don't know. I know that in the old days, I remember a lot of people didn't want to buy used camera bodies because they were always worried about shutter actuations. And then lenses, people are always like, well, you got to make sure that lens isn't scratched. And before the internet, it was a lot easier because typically you were going to go see the thing in person before you ever bought it.
Right.
And I get not wanting to, but man, especially for lenses, just friggin' buy used. Like you said, you can get some amazing lenses. And if you're doing creative type photography and speed is not of the essence, who cares if it, you know, you can get some amazing lenses that produce interesting results that they may not necessarily work with your autofocus. They may have certain features that don't work, but who cares?
I agree. Yeah, I have a giant, you know, cabinet behind me here with a whole bunch of old lenses that I used to lust after from like the film days that now are crazy cheap. And yeah, I it's not the easiest to use on, again, the, you know, some of these cameras, but it's just patience and a tripod sometimes will do the job.
And fun. It's interesting. It's fun.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
That's cool.
Definitely.
What about film? Are you doing any film these days?
Well, so The internet is actually losing their mind about film at the moment because mm-hmm. the prices have gone berserk.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So for right now, I think film is really meant for pros right now, personally. For me to spend the amount of money on film is a little bit like looking at a camera that is $2,000 and looking at film and doing film for a year. You probably will end up spending about the same amount of money, including the camera, right?
Yeah.
And that's 1 year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Like, the prices of film right now are pretty high. And the thing is that, like, yeah, I develop at home myself, but guess what? I don't have the time for it. So I would, if I were to keep shooting film, and, you know, the only film I shoot right now is actually instant film, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to keep shooting film, I would have to devote myself to actually developing at home, which I don't have the time. It's scanning at home, which I don't have the time, and doing calibrations on the frames that I've got, which I don't have time. I don't have time for these things. And then the money is not like, for me, it's like, I'd rather just spend the money on some lenses and have a nice lens for my Sony. Or I have actually a bunch of cameras. I have the little one series, Nikon one series, you know, like the 1-inch cameras, which are nice for shooting the moon because you can put like a regular lens under and have basically, you know, 2x zoom because of the sensor being so small.
Like, if you were new to developing your own film and it was novel and it was fun and exciting and you were willing to say, I'm going to really reduce the amount of time I have for actually shooting mm-hmm. and buying camera gear with, you know, reduce the amount of money I have for camera gear, but it's worth it to me because I'm going to learn how to develop this film. That would be one thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
You already know how to do it, and it's probably not the most exciting part of photography for you.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not. It's exciting because you're like, snap, I'm doing this, right? Like, people pay someone else to do this. But hey, guess what? It's not that much money to pay someone else to do it. But, there's a big but. It does add up, right? You know?
Yes.
So that's the problem. It's like, how much money are you going to... You say, oh, it's cheaper than digital. But is it, though? Right? Because it adds up. I mean, if you do this for 2 years, how much money did you spend versus how much that digital camera, you know, cost?
It's almost like back when I was a kid and I wasn't paying for my own stuff and mm-hmm. I would either have to scrimp together money to develop film or my dad was going to be paying for it. And so mm-hmm. I had to be very careful. It really limited the amount of shots that I could take. Super. And it's almost like that again with film.
Yes, definitely like that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's too bad. That is the one thing about digital. Whatever you think about film, whatever you think about digital, first of all, people get amazing. You know, I think the biggest appeal of film is that it requires a little more work and that you can get different results with it. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's more about enjoying the process than anything. But that is the one advantage of digital. Immediately when digital came along, I realized, oh my God, I can shoot however many, you know, photos I want, and some of them can be terrible, and I'm not going to feel bad about that because, you know, aside from the fact that nobody wants to shoot 99% terrible photos, but I'm not going to feel bad about that because it's not going to cost me a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the film was never that way for me.
No. No. Unless you're rich.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. In which case, you're too busy buying property in New Zealand or whatever they do these days.
Yeah.
Or maybe giving Elon Musk all your money in case he establishes a Mars colony.
That guy. I don't get it.
Do you still use Twitter?
Yeah. I you know, the funny thing is that Mastodon, like, I'm trying to use it, mm-hmm. but it feels kind of clicky.
I know what you mean. It's much less so for me now than when I started. And I think mm-hmm. one thing that really helped was a huge influx of people who didn't care about the stupid rules. Like, there were so many Mastodon splainers early on. Here's how mm-hmm. we do things here. Here's how you must do things. And it's like, listen, I get that you have a culture you like, and I get that there are certain ways that you do things that may or may not be better, but... Clay, every time we've gone to a new social network, it's always our don't stink, right? It's mm-hmm, always that mm-hmm. way. And it's not true. It's never true. It's just people. There's no group of people that's so much smarter and better than other people that they've developed the perfect social network, but they always think they do in the infancy of these social networks.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of you know, splaining going on Mastodon. But my attitude was, I'm going to ignore these people, and when enough other people come in that ignore them too, it won't matter anymore. And for the most part, on my Mastodon, I don't see a lot of the posts anymore saying, welcome to Mastodon, here's our 24,000 rules that you must abide by.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say that I follow a number of Black people on Mastodon that still highlight a lot of the issues, which is a lot of those rules around content warnings and a lot of the rules that were built up for people who don't want to see certain types of content, they hinder necessary and productive discussions about racism, even unintentional racism, and how is it ever going to improve if you want to silence those conversations because you think that belongs behind a CW.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems with Mastodon is it was so monoculture for so long that it really, it left a bad taste in my mouth when I first started using it. And I'm like, man, these people don't get it. They don't understand. Like, you can't lecture to other adults how to use, you know, you understand that the people coming in here are grown adults, right? And you're trying to tell them how to have conversations. That just doesn't work.
It doesn't, no. So is that still a thing, the whole CW stuff, or is that been minimized?
I think it's way minimized. And also, okay. I've been on the Ivory betas for a while. Like, mm-hmm. I have the iOS beta, and now I finally got on the Mac beta. And for a long time, because they were just building it on the fly from the bones of Tweetbot, I guess, it didn't really show the CW. It didn't really handle CW very well. It just showed you everything. And so...
Oh.
And now, even on the web now, I see a lot less CWs than I used to. So I think that due to multiple reasons, people just aren't using CWs that much anymore because the CW culture was ridiculous in the beginning. Like, I get that there's people who don't like eye contact, but like there would be a photo of a cat looking into the camera and people would put it behind a CW because the cat was making eye contact.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't expect everybody to be that... I mean, I don't know where you draw the line, but to me, that's way on the wrong side of it.
Well, that's why I kind like, so I post a picture of something and I'm like, okay, am I supposed to put it behind the filter? Because I'm not sure. Like, what if the moon is moon? Like, oh, this moon is mooning me. Like, this is offensive. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, right.
You know, some people might be werewolves and they're trying to control it. And you show them a picture of the moon, Clay, and they're going to have a problem.
It's like they're baying in the middle of Starbucks because of me. Jeez, I'm
That's
sorry.
Right. I do apologize. Yeah. Where's the content warning? They howl.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so that sort of stuff kind of made me just a little bit, I don't know.
For sure.
Just nervous. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to come in here. You know, this Twitter ref, I guess that's offensive too, the Twitter refugee. But, you know, Twitter outcast and... coming in here and posting pictures that I think are perfectly fine and then I offend someone because I just mooned them. I don't know.
From what I've seen, and at least on the server that I'm on, so basically what I see on my home view is stuff that's on that server, and it's on that server because people follow certain people. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's view is going to be different. But the view that I see, I don't see a lot of that anymore. It's way less than it used to be. And I think... Okay. You know, I'm a white middle-aged dude. There's very little I'm going to see that is probably going to cause a problem for me because people's inherent biases that Mastodon was built around are probably more like mine than not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But even having said that, I see a lot less of the CW culture, the lecturing culture, the here's how we do things on Mastodon culture. I don't know where those people went in despair, but I feel like... a lot of them have finally realized, hey, these grown adults have come in here and they're going to talk how they're going to talk. That's the thing about social networks. They've never, ever been used exactly the way even the creators envisioned.
Yeah.
They just don't. People come in and they find the way they want to use it, and that's how it gets used.
Yeah. And the thing is that a lot of times creators, you know, see something that we, the users, do, and then they're like, wow, that's brilliant. Like, we didn't think about that. Let's add that, you know?
Like the whole quote toot thing was a huge controversy for a long time. And it's like, guys, yes, it can be a magnifier, but you guys keep saying that Mastodon is built specifically so that individual things can't go viral as easily. So therefore, you can't use a quote toot to dogpile as easily as you can on Twitter. So why not let it happen? And then also, you can be an ass to people in replies already. Like, it's not like that's the only way you can ever harass somebody, so we can't allow it, but we can allow these other things. No, harassment comes in all forms, including silencing of discussions of racism by saying, oh, that belongs behind a CW. That's harassment too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that is actually very good point, is that, you know, if you decided that something was perfectly fine and someone else, one person decides that, you know, that this is offensive to them, it's, I mean, like, again, you can't please everyone, right? Like,
right.
And the social media, I don't know why we call it social media, because it feels very antisocial a lot of times.
Yeah, but, antisocial media.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't get that offended by a lot of stuff. You have to go really far to offend me, okay?
Like, well, here's the thing. It's like, yeah. Everyone is going to have triggers. Like, we mm-hmm. all have had things happen to us in life to where things that other people would never imagine would be painful for us to hear are going to be painful for us to hear.
Yeah, true.
And we as humans, there is a line. We as humans have got to, this is just part of growing up, and as culture evolves and as new technologies come on or new use cases evolve, we just have to figure out where is the line that makes mm-hmm. sense, so that we're not purposely being jerks to people and just saying, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Like, people who get mad because they can't be a certain way anymore. And it's like, no, we're not trying to stifle you. We're just asking you not to be dicks. Is that such a hard right. thing? But then there's also the thing of people who want every personal trigger of theirs accounted for, and you can't do that. And so, no. Like, for example, I know people that have had their children die.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to get mad and get offended whenever anybody at work is talking about their kids? I'm sure yeah. it's incredibly painful.
Right.
But they can't. And I'm sure that if people who know them and know their story, they would probably be careful about what they said around those people. But people mm-hmm. who don't know, and they're standing there talking about their kids, which people do all the time at work.
Right.
That would be amazingly, incredibly, devastatingly painful for those people to be reminded that, hey, they're having these happy experiences with their child, and I'm not.
Yeah.
But they're not going to jump on that person and attack them. Not unless they're super unreasonable, right?
Right.
You can't. Yeah. Because part of life is other people have kids.
Yep. We'd hope so.
So there has to be, yeah. There has to be, you know, when you yourself are feeling pain from some of the things that people are talking about, you have to be willing to honestly engage in a internal dialogue of saying, is it reasonable that these people are allowed to talk about this, or are they just being dicks? Or are they just being normal humans? And this is part of the human experience. And yeah, this hurts for me, but I'm not going to ask them not to do that, because there are times where it's unreasonable for them to do it, and there's times where it's unreasonable to ask them to stop doing it. Is it easy to figure that out? No, not always, but you have to at least be willing to admit that that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Probably a dumb example.
No, that is a good example, though, because the thing is that normal people will, on one side, realize that, yes, guess what, this is going to be a thing that happens to me. I lost my child, and this is something I have to deal with. And the opposite side, you know, people lose kids, but like, you can't put everything behind the content warning just because you're like, snap, like, okay, my son just like did this amazing thing, and I can't talk about it because, well, someone might have lost a child, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a very good example, actually. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we should not be cognizant of other people's needs and feelings.
Right.
At all. And it is a tricky, it is hard. Like, it is hard, but there has to be, like, you know, if people wanted to, they could hear what I'm saying and they could say, oh, well, you know, that could allow for a lot of racist things, and people could say, well, that's just how humanity is. This is just part of being society. Yes, it could. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it used to. And it still does in a lot of places. And so I get that. But I'm saying you have to have the rule of, are you just being a jerk, or are you just being a normal human being? It's an evolution. Yeah. There's a lot of things that we know now that we should not do or say because they are wrong, and we did not used to think they were wrong.
Right, right.
I don't know. It's hard. Being a human is hard, Clay.
Yeah, very hard.
Maybe we shouldn't be humans anymore.
Well, I think we're on our way out, aren't we?
I think so, yes. I think this may be a solved problem. It just hasn't completely gotten there yet.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Did you notice? And I knew this was going to happen. I figured it was only a matter of time. But now this avian flu is jumping to other animals.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It happens, but geez, gosh. Oof.
Yeah.
Painful.
It is painful. I do eat meat. I do eat chicken and fish.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I despise the whole meat industry is horrible. It's abominable. It's a large part of what's killing the planet.
Yes, it is. Yep. We go overboard with stuff. Okay, like, you know, oh, guess what? There's gold in the ground. We're going to overmine. Oh, there's, you know, animals have omega 3. We're going to overfish. I mean, yeah, we go overboard. Like,
right. Most of what we do, if we did in moderation, it would be okay. And if we did it in a balanced way, it would be okay. But you're right. We go so overboard. Part of it is just how many people live on the planet. But but part of it also is just capitalism. Capitalism is engineered that way. And I feel like in the United States, we still hold on to capitalism as such a religion.
Very true.
And
it is a religion, though.
Capitalism is just a system. Yeah, it is a religion. But it's just a system. And I don't understand why so many people think this is the inherent good way. This is the... Look, I understand that you can look around and look at communist countries and look at socialist countries and say, look at all these problems. But look, we're capitalist, but if we get an authoritarian in place, you can have bad people in charge in any system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that a lot of communist countries have authoritarians in place. And a lot of the people I know that have escaped from communist countries and come to the United States are very conservative as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have authoritarians in place in a quote, democratic, which isn't really anymore, and a capitalist society, and it's just as bad. And it might even be worse, because then you have all these corporations that are taking advantage of you at the same time as the authoritarians are ruling you. So I really wish humans didn't have such a bias towards the way things are. Like, we have a tendency to think, oh, this is how it is, so this is the way it has to be, when everything we do, everything we see, everything we think is all made up by us, and it doesn't have to be that way. It's not inevitable, but it's only inevitable because everybody thinks it is.
Right. It's a chicken and egg.
Chicken and egg, yeah.
Cycles.
And both the chicken and the egg have avian flu, by the way.
Yes. Is it because the chicken ate the egg, and then the chicken laid the egg, and then the... Okay, never mind. Cycle.
Probably.
Snakes. Tails. Something like that.
The chicken ate the egg. The chicken laid an egg, which might be the same egg, or have parts of the same egg. I don't know. It gets weird. I don't understand animals. How do they even? Oh, boy. I don't know. We all see what we want to see out of life.
Yes, we do. Very. You know, I mean, I know this is giving Elon too much credit here, but maybe we might actually be in the Matrix.
You know, some of the things that are happening, I don't believe it, but some of the things that are happening are the best indication of it that I've ever seen. You can't make this stuff up. It is almost like somebody's tweaking a bunch of sliders to see what would happen.
Yeah. How far can we push it? Oh my gosh, did someone see it? Yeah. Pull it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Take them out. They saw too much.
How dumb can we make these people, and at what point do they actually kill themselves?
Yeah. Yeah.
There seems to be, and I don't know why, but when people get a certain platform, Elon Musk is one of these guys, but you know that a lot of his, like, he has become very Donald Trump-like in his tweets and his stupid sayings and just the dumb things he says and does. The way he communicates, it's very childish and Trump-like. And I gotta say, I'm starting to wonder if giving some of these people who don't have normal social interactions, they're billionaires, they're rich, or they're technically influential in the tech industry, and so they don't have a lot of people pushing back on their really stupid ideas. And I wonder if giving these people a platform and telling them that they're right about everything is what makes them that way. But it is interesting to me that there is a phenomena of people converging towards this type of personality once they get a big platform. It can't be coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, so someone like him becomes rich, right? And so they've been convinced by their actions and their people who are under them that they are always right.
Yeah.
I mean, so people like that, you can't tell them anything, right? I mean, I don't know. Honestly, if Steve Jobs had bought Twitter, what would we, you know? I know that we can't, you know, people keep pulling Steve Jobs out of the grave, but I mean, you know, would he have been the same way? I don't know.
No.
I mean, Bill Gates, would he have been the same way?
No, and I think those guys were formed in a different era, though.
Mm,
they certainly had their own problems. They certainly
For sure.
They certainly went, well, in the case of Bill Gates, he never really proclaimed the hippie culture so much. But Steve Jobs, like many, quote, counterculture people of the time, certainly became diehard capitalists in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But those guys came of a different time, and I think they already were established enough in their own personality. And I think that's one of the benefits of the past, where as you're growing up, as you're developing, or as you're becoming, for these people that are influential, becoming influential, you don't have the same huge platform where you're a performer. And I think the performance aspect of it is part of it that amplifies this to some degree. I don't know how much, but I think it does make it worse. Reality TV was an indication a long time ago that when you take people and put them on a stage, they become dumber than ever.
Yeah.
And now you're doing it to billionaires who never, at least on reality TV, other contestants or other people on the show would say, you are the biggest idiot I've ever seen. No one ever says that to billionaires. Yeah. Oh, and that's one of the other downfalls of our capitalism religion, Clay, is that, like you were saying, they think they're right about everything. Absolutely, because we have this inherent belief that if a person is a billionaire or even a millionaire, they must know things that we don't know. They must be smart about everything. It's not that they had one specific, it's not that they had also good luck, but it's not that they had one specific area of knowledge or one domain that they're good at. No, they're good at everything. We have to listen to them about everything they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, so people like Elon, look at people, someone like Andrew Tate, you know, with his, I mean, they get these cults following everything that they say and defending them at every turn, right? I mean, you say anything about Andrew Tate and about him getting arrested, and all of a sudden you get attacked by a bunch of bros. I mean, they are bros usually, because he needs to be proven guilty, and it's like, okay, right now he's in jail for his alleged crimes. Like, why are you going to go out of your way to defend someone? It's all because, according to these people, they have made it, right? And so, someone who's made it, you're going to blindly follow them because hopefully one day you'll fall into their footsteps.
Right?
You're not going to. Sorry, like these people are, but you know, because I don't know if you follow anything that Andrew Tate does, but no. He actually is one of these people that who can convince people to sort of throw money at him and say, you know, I will teach you my way, you know, and it's like people who can't afford spend money on things like this, hoping that one day they will be as rich as Andrew Tate. And it's like, the reason why Andrew Tate is going to keep being rich is because suckers like you are born every day.
Right.
Who are going to give him money, right? It's like they don't realize that they're the bones that are feeding this machine or whatever the term is. You know, same thing with, you know, the Paul brothers, you know, Logan and whatever his other name is. Yeah, I mean, it's just abhorrent human beings who are able to convince people to throw money at anything they do, right? You know, the whole cryptocurrency space has people just losing their minds and their money at an alarming rate. And it's only because, again, we like to put people on pedestals. And, you know, if Elon Musk were to say, here's a course, it's a $10,000 for the year, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to pay for it, you know. And I mean, just because he made it doesn't mean you'll make it too. Sorry, you know. Sorry to burst your bubble, but I think that's the fear here.
Do you think it's gotten worse though? How much we need people need a hero people need somebody who can, you know, be their answer. Do you think it's getting worse, or am I just seeing it more because the internet dumps everything in our face? It really seems like now our culture just wants, we just want an answer. We don't want it to be complicated. It doesn't matter if they're an authoritarian. If they have an answer for us, it's all good. Is it worse, or is it just that I'm getting old and I'm getting tired of humanity?
Sometimes I feel like it's getting worse. And the thing is that it's, I think what it is not that it's getting worse, is that it's just more televised, right? Or more broadcasted, I think.
It could be, yeah. We elevate the negative.
Yeah, we do, right? I mean, and the thing is that, like, we've had, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we've had, I'm not comparing Elon to Hitler here, but I'm saying, like, we've had people like Hitler come to power, and people, you know, I mean, he was sort of lifted on a pedestal, right?
Right.
People like that it happens. It's just, if it was happening during our time now, like, he would have had a far broader audience.
That's true.
I mean, he had Germany as an audience. I mean, and Poland as an audience. But now it's like, you know, you become someone like Elon, and again, you know, please, listeners, I'm not comparing Elon to Hitler. Like, I'm just stating, you know.
You're talking about the cult of personality phenomenon.
Exactly. That's exactly the word, yes.
Can become influential.
Right. Exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
And nowadays, I hate to say it, Clay, but I don't think the Republicans would push back on Hitler all that much.
You know, I don't think you're not far off here.
I mean, look at this country. They're trying to ban everything now. We're becoming a... Here's how you must behave. It's like Mastodon used to be, except these people have power to make laws happen.
Yeah, yeah. Content warning. There's a Black History Month. Content warning. I mean, the whole Black History Month thing is pissing me off too, because this, I've seen some of the most ridiculous things. You know, like, I mean, in Miami, they have a cop car that was covered by all sort of like dashiki, you know, all this sort of African, you know, tribalist stuff, and it's like. Like, how about you guys figure out how not to kill black people, maybe, you know?
Right.
Because that's not helping, is it?
Right. Well, maybe all their cars should be covered with that. And maybe police wouldn't want to roll up on the scene in one of those cars and then jump out and kill a black guy. So maybe that's part of the solution. Cover them all.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's insane. It's like, really? You guys are their allies now? I don't get it.
I mean, the thing is that everything is about the whole publicity thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, if you, like, I want action. I don't want, like, show. There's one thing to say something, but there's one thing to do, right? Like, do, don't say. You know, like, actually don't kill people instead of saying we're going to kill less people. And they don't say it. But, like, the whole implication of this car covered in this African stuff, I mean, what are you trying to tell us with that? Like, why are we wasting our time with this?
And that even goes to, you know, like people like me or other people who say, oh, we are 100% understanding of what black people are saying and we are on their side. But then if black people come to the conclusion that they're not getting results and they're tired of being killed and they're going to do something that might be construed as disruptive, like protesting a certain way or they might want to fight back against the police, then even people who call themselves open-minded and liberal are going to say, oh, no, that's wrong. That's not how you do stuff. Well, guess what? It is how you do stuff when you're not getting results the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't talking until you're blue in the face and then it doesn't do any good. After a while, you can't live with that anymore. You know,
right.
When I was younger, I didn't realize that, but I get it now and I'm, you know, sometimes if you're right, you got to do what you got to do. That's the realization I've come to. And I'm not here for people saying, yeah, we get it. But by the way, nothing's ever going to change. I'm not here for that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's made this place what it is and it's not working.
Nope. I agree. It isn't.
Humans are super flawed.
Yes, we are.
My co-worker Yusuf, he says, we went to watch 2001 at a local theater here that has a gigantic beautiful old analog projector on a gigantic screen, and and they got a special cut of 2001 made just for them. That was
the Space Odyssey 2001.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
So his quote about humanity is never should have touched the monolith.
Yes.
That was where we went wrong. Yeah. It's been downhill. That's very true. Yeah.
We need that. That's our motto. We just
yep. Never should have touched the monolith.
That's good.
Yep.
That's spot on. That's good. Oh, that's good.
I don't know. I have no answers. I don't know if anybody does have answers.
No. We all pretend to have answers. We don't have answers.
I think the best we can do is try to honestly operate out of good faith instead of...
Yep.
That's what amazes me, is how many people are just willing to openly and clearly take advantage of other people. You know, aside from... Humanity's always been horrible towards each other. All the people we've killed, all the people we've tortured, all the people we've enslaved, all the horrible, horrible, horrible things we've done to each other. It's like, how can you... How can you even do that? But then even just on a daily routine basis, taking advantage of other people, building systems in place that we get people to root for and cheer for that are actually taking advantage of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But well, we shouldn't end on this note, though. This is bad. Oh, you know what? I want to play a clip. This is hilarious because Peter Nicolaitis is an IT consultant and a security guy.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, he will readily admit he's like a walking EMP. He breaks everything. I don't know how. I don't know why. But he has problems with his technology that I've never seen before.
Huh.
And I was listening to the Six Colors podcast the other day, and they were talking about Dan Morin and his co-hosts on a podcast that he has. And it reminded me of Peter, so I'm going to play this.
For those who don't know about Guy English, he is a lovely man. First off, I when Dan referred to his friend Guy English, I thought he was making it up, because that is not
my
a
imaginary
real name.
Friend, Guy English.
Guy English. It sounds so fake, right? It's phony, fake name. Anyway, he's a real guy. Gay
and
named
a real
guy,
English.
And he's really English. He was born in England.
He was born in England, that's true.
Now he's Canadian, but he's also English. And very, very smart guy. He worked at Apple. He's a software developer. He's, you know, he does. He and Dan talked, and Moltz spent 5 years on an island talking about Arrow.
It was rough.
And you guys do the Biff podcast now.
I do.
He's like got a negative podcast energy field around him.
It's a thing.
I want to describe, while we're in the after show here, can I describe the tech profile of the Biff podcast in my own words, which is, there's Dan,
sure,
a professional podcaster who has a professional podcasting setup. Okay. Seems good so far, right? There's John Moltz, who, I don't know if he still does this, but for a long time, his podcast recording strategy was he talks to you from one computer and records his audio from a different computer, because neither of his computers is trustworthy enough to act on their own. And then there's Guy. And Guy, you know, again, very technical, very smart guy. Somehow, like, I don't know, he records in echo chambers where he's down
in
a well.
I've been to his apartment and his office now, and it's a small windowless room, and it really is just like an echo chamber.
And then there's also roll a die to see if the recording works.
I will say, the funny part of this is, since I went on parental leave, Guy has edited Biff for the last, 6 months?
Yeah.
And so I don't have to deal with those problems currently. So I just like, well, you know, now, and I think it's actually helped, because he's like, oh, now I can hear what I
say. Now I, yeah,
like.
That's right.
So he has improved. I think he got a new mic, and I think we put him on an ATR or something that was like a little less.
All right.
Room noisy, because he had some really weird audio.
Yeah, no, and he had
stuff.
Whatever his microphone he was using, he had some connectivity issues with the microphone, which there were some where it like dropped out, and then you had to use the backup track, or there was one where he sent me the laptop mic recording, and like, it's just, it's been bad luck with Guy. So Anyway, have him on live on Discord. What could go wrong?
I hope Jason Snell doesn't sue me, because that's a members only. That's a members only podcast, but I only took two and a half minutes of it, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to spread the member. Everyone go sign up for members only podcast.
That's right. Six Colors, yeah. But but that just reminds me of Peter a lot. And it does remind... Now, I will say one thing about Peter. When I first started podcasting with him, and through several different podcasts, I had so many issues with his recording. It was just like that. Sometimes he would send me a recording from the wrong mic. Sometimes he has gotten a lot better. Now it's always the correct mic. His recording always works. It sounds a lot better than it used to. And when there is a little bit of background noise, it's stuff that I can easily filter out now.
Uh-huh.
So I recently, whatever he did recently, and I think he improved it when he started recording Blurring the Lines with Adam. But I gotta say, Clay, you are the one person, as far as I know, when you started podcasting, you just figured it out. And ever since then, it's just worked. You don't come with the wrong mic. You don't have, you know, crickets chirping in your studio.
I was just going to say crickets.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, but you're the type of person that should be podcasting.
Oh, geez. Wow. Thank you. It's listen, podcasting, you know, I have a solo podcast that actually is supposed to come out of hiatus forever, but podcasting is fun when it's like with friends, you know, like this is fun. Like this is a blast. I enjoy it a lot. I'm the overly technical at work. I'm the guy who fixes everyone's problems at work. But I don't normally have problems with technology. But again, I also don't have a job that is, it's in the medical field. So there are a lot of people who aren't supposed to be technical in my field, because we have an IT department. But usually I am the IT guy. So
right, yeah. But you also, once you get something working, you don't fiddle with it.
No, I do not. That is one thing I do not do. Like if it's working now, it's like it's cemented in place.
Yeah. Yep. And that is one thing that I was worried about when I went back to the laptop as my only computer lifestyle was. Mm-hmm. Like when I had the iMac, the advantage of it was my recording situation never changed. That thing just sat there, and all the stuff that was connected was always connected.
Mm-hmm. So how do you solve that problem?
Well, it hasn't been an issue. Once I plug it back in, one thing that I did do, though, was I have an application from Brett Terpstra called Bunch. Mm-hmm. And basically what it is, it's a little menu bar app, and you can click on a bunch in the menu to run that bunch. And what the bunch will do is it pops up programs that you want associated with that bunch. So it's like a session.
Yeah.
And I have it do that, but I also have it set my audio inputs and outputs.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So that way I make sure that when I'm podcasting, my output goes to my AirPods and my input is my...
Your mic.
It's a loopback device. It's my mic plus the soundboard.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And now I do still have to check individual applications. Like I have to make sure Discord is set up that way. I have to make sure FaceTime is set up that way. But if I don't change those don't change. And so far, it's been pretty seamless. The only issues I've had are like things that like we had today where I figured out that Discord couldn't hear me unless I let it adjust the sensitivity. It just didn't know that I was on mic. And that's not unusual. Every time I podcast with Bart, for example, in the past, he's always said, you're way too quiet. The last couple times, he hasn't had that issue. So apparently I fixed that. But I do have a perennial issue of being too quiet, which is probably not something that you've ever thought about me, but apparently computers do. But yeah, it's been pretty seamless. I'm pretty impressed, because for all the software... And it's not like Apple doesn't have audio software bugs.
Well, yeah, trust me. Yeah.
But so far, it's been pretty seamless, so I've been really happy.
It's been good. Nice. Yeah, I was actually meaning to ask you about the laptop setup. Because I know that you were iMac, you were podcasting from the iMac before. But because I know Vic always had issues sometimes with setting stuff up.
Exactly. And that's part of why I was, every time somebody with a laptop would show up and they had to fight to get things working, I would be like, this is why you don't do it from laptops. And I would lecture them from on high. I was the Macedonian of podcasting. Here's my 4,000 rules.
Content warning.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy has a laptop.
Oh no, he had to plug his mic in. Content warning. Don't make eye contact. But yeah, I've changed my tune.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting your laptop too. The same one actually, because it's actually selling for the same price you bought it for. Still,
which
is a steal.
It is amazing. It's an amazing deal. It's such a good computer.
Yeah. Apple did really well with this.
It's just I open it and it's on.
Yep.
It's quiet. It just does things. The battery is great. Like my work laptop, of course, it's Windows, and it's a good. The hardware is not bad. It's a Lenovo T14, and I really like the form factor. It was that computer. Like, I had a 16-inch laptop at work previously, and then I got the Lenovo T14, and I loved that form factor. That's what convinced me that the 14-inch MacBook Pro would be perfect for me. And I got to say, but other laptops, like, you open them, and they take a while before you can do anything.
Yeah.
This computer isn't like that. It's just ready to go.
Yep. Same thing with the MacBook Air. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know what voodoo they're doing. They're clearly saving stuff. And I bet if you hit a certain program instantly, it would be updating in the background. You might not, like if you had an RSS app or something. But everything seems to respond pretty quickly. It's not like sometimes on iOS, you know how you go to iOS. You know how when you look at stuff in the app switcher, it's really just snapshots of what your apps were doing at the time. Right. And sometimes when you go to the apps, all of a sudden you'll see it go from that snapshot to blank for a minute as it refreshes and starts all over again.
Yep.
It's not like that with the Mac.
Not like that at all. Nope. I know. I love it. I actually thought that example right there was going to be the case when I went to M Architecture Mac. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be probably a little bit painful. And I shocked. I mean, it was amazing from day one. And I've had a MacBook Air before. And that was, I loved it form factor wise, but painful to use. You know?
Yep.
When I bought this one, I am like, this is what a MacBook Air, this is what any MacBook Air should have been from day one. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I've never enjoyed a laptop so much in my life. I've actively hated laptops in the past because they were always such gigantic compromises. The only good thing was the portability, but everything else just sucked so bad. I just remember getting different cooling solutions for laptops for use when I was sitting downstairs. I remember stupid packs that you would throw in your freezer and then you'd put it under your laptop. But after 15 minutes, they'd be too warm already because the laptop had basically burned a hole in them.
We've gotten... I mean, so when you look at AMD and what they're doing, and AMD is doing some crazy, amazing stuff with their chips. But none of those laptops are able to do what... in terms of like... portability, because a lot of them, like, you know, when you look at the specs, it's always plugged in. When it's unplugged, it's a completely different animal, right? Because they have to throttle down like crazy. And then on top of that, not only is it throttled down like crazy, and the M architecture stuff is also throttled to a certain degree, but not to the same level as an AMD chip. Not even close.
I would say not even close.
Yeah, not even close. And on top of that, you have crazy fans going. You have to have giant fans. You have to have giant heat sinks. I mean, it's kind of like, to a certain degree, it kind of sucks that the M2 chips have now sort of shrunken the heat sinks down a little bit. But it's like, you know, they can even afford to do it because there's not as much heat. And when there is a lot of heat, it still doesn't throttle as much because, you know, back in the days, Apple would just throttle something like crazy because there's way too much heat. These chips are able to run hotter for much longer. I mean, AMD and Intel really, like, have... So, I mean, you know, when you're having a big gaming system, that's one thing. But if in a laptop, this is a beast. It's absolutely a beast.
It's interesting because Apple came to it from the other side. They came to it from the performance, mobility, and battery performance side. And, of course, I remember standing at work and talking to a guy, and he's like, There's no way that a phone chip can ever work in a laptop. It's just ridiculous. And I remember him saying that. And well, now look at these laptops. They blow away what there was before, but they also have the better battery life and they also are quieter and not as hot and so forth. But I think the fact that other CPUs came at it from the other side and they didn't recognize fast enough or they don't know how to make priority for laptops so that they don't burn a hole in you. Like, they're still thinking of the plugged in use case, or they're still okay with battery life that's only X number of hours. And like some of those gaming laptops, their battery will be dead in 2 hours if you're running them in decent performance mode and you're
not
plugged in.
Two hours, that's a lot, actually. I mean, some of these things are like 45 minutes. You know, a true gaming laptop with a AAA game, like that is, like, because a lot of AAA games take advantage of everything, right? Like the whole GPU is completely maxed out, right?
Right.
I mean, if someone gets a laptop, if someone gets 45 minutes to an hour on a gaming system, you know, they're happy. It's like, I got an hour of gameplay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Why would you even bother? Like, at that point, you're always going to be doing your... I guess for the times that you're not gaming, but...
Yeah, but even those systems that are for the times they're not gaming, they're
they
no,
still don't last.
Exactly, because like they don't have efficiency cores like the M systems, right? You know, if you can actually use a 16 incher for like 20 hours if you're actually doing stuff like email, because it's not using the, you know, it's not firing up anything but just the efficiency cores, right? So it's, yeah, I why bother? Unless, again, if you're the kind of person who does a lot of gaming on the fly, meaning like you're not gaming like in a Starbucks, but you're like taking it to someone's house to go game, right?
That's,
you're not
going
to take your home,
yeah.
Right? So that then I can understand it.
And I guess nowadays a lot of people are just conditioned to default mentality as a laptop is a computer anyway.
Yeah, true. You know, the only because you have the studio display, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, because you know, like honestly, I want a studio display, and that's like a lot of me. The reason why I want a 14 or a 16 inch is because of the screen. And I would actually stay with the MacBook Air. And I'm actually I'm strongly considering just getting the monitor. Because I don't have a problem with the MacBook Air. Like, the MacBook Air does all of the work I needed to do. Capture One Pro has no issues on it. I could have a large session going. No problems. It's almost like... Whenever, you know, like, think back to whenever you have your iMac when you first got it. It was always crazy fast at first. It feels like that, but still, right? I've had it for, since pretty much the beginning. It's like that, you know? So, really and truly, a monitor is all I would need, honestly. Because, you know, like, the MacBook Air screen is nowhere near as good as your screen. Your screen is phenomenal. Like, that is the best laptop screen that Apple has ever made, period. You know, I mean, I see it in the store and I'm like, they've never had a laptop screen that good.
It is pretty amazing.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing about the M1 architecture is it is good. Like, I bought this laptop not that long before the M2 versions came out, but I have zero regrets. It's not like I have any FOMO whatsoever. And I think this laptop will last me for years and years.
For sure. Yeah. I think if people are looking at buying a laptop today, and people have asked me, okay, anyone who is looking at a laptop today, I say go look at the refurbished store, because all those M1s are more than perfect for the next 10 years. Like, the people are going to be satisfied with them for the next 10 years. Like, you can save a good $800, even $1,000 in some cases if you're willing to do a 512, you know? And the funny thing is a 512 this year in the M2 is actually slower than 512 of the M1 Pro last year, right?
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, you win even more if you actually were to stick to 512, if you were to go to M1 Pro.
Right, yeah, exactly. If you know that if you get the current computer and you're only going to get the 512, you might as well just get the M1 Pro.
Exactly. That's exactly what I tell people. Because I forgot who I was talking to, but they had just asked me which laptop to get. Me, if I'm looking at it, if I'm going to stick to 512, it's M1 Pro. If it's anything above that, yeah, I would consider the M2 Pro. But then again, like, look at the amount of money you're going to spend. You're going to spend a lot of money. You know, if you're considering what the refurbished store is selling, and then the refurbished store, I mean, even like, B&H has a lot of sales, right? And B&H sales have not even been able to, and usually I always go B&H because I save taxes with them, right? But because I have a card that they pay me my taxes back. Well, the Apple Store has beat them like for as long as the M2 Pro has been out. You're better off buying it through Apple's refurbished store until they run out.
That is interesting. I will say one thing though: Apple really is stiffing people in terms of trading stuff in now. Oh my God! Don't even bother. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. They think they give so little money for trade-in devices now, Clay. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I think it was just like this past year or maybe a couple of years, but before that I've traded in devices and I got enough that it was worth it. But now, like when even fairly recent devices, they're just like, oh, that's not worth anything. It's like, man, you are really devaluing your own products. You know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can actually sell it on like open market for just a little bit more. Yeah. But, you know, you had to put up with the hassle of dealing with people, but sometimes it's more worth doing that than to have Apple stiff you on that. That's not good.
You know what's funny though? My brother in the past has given me computers that at the time were really good computers because he hasn't wanted to deal with people selling it privately.
Yeah.
And so he's like, here, have this. Like I had back when the old Cheese Grater Mac Pro was a thing, he gave me an Halem Mac Pro once. He gave me one of the two one of the two 27-inch iMacs that I had was from my brother. I mean, pretty amazing, honestly.
I'm just like him. Again, why do I have so many cameras? I don't like dealing with people. I don't want to sell it to any idiots. So
I know, because you have to worry. You have to worry, where do I meet this person? Are they going to rip me off? You know, and I sold a laptop to a guy in a Starbucks once, and I don't blame him for it. Like, he took forever to make up his mind, and I didn't blame him. How can he know? How can he know that I'm not some scam artist? And I told him, I said, look, here's what I know about the current battery life. But at the time, those old MacBook Pros at the time, they would develop battery issues where the battery would seem fine, and then all of a sudden it would only last for, you know, a little while, like cells were going bad or something.
Oh yeah.
And I told him, I said, look, here's my current battery life. It's not as good as it used to be. The only thing that I'm not 100% certain about with this laptop is the battery. And here's how long it lasts, but it could be going out for all I know. And I was upfront with him. I was like, that would be my only concern if I were you buying this, is this battery any good? But those batteries were replaceable.
Yeah, true.
So
those are good days.
Yeah, they were. But at the same time, this MacBook Pro that I have right now could not be this light. And
no, absolutely not. No, I'll take now. I know a lot of people would probably, you know, slap me for saying this. I would take it anything now over anything we had back then. There's no fans going crazy in my laptop. You can't beat that.
No.
And even if it does go crazy, guess what? It's not as loud.
Clay, I wonder if not having removable batteries is better or worse for the environment.
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question. Technically, I mean, Apple still can replace it, right? Or is that another thing?
I think they can if they wanted to. But I think at that point, it might not be. I don't know how much they would charge for it in a laptop. Obviously, in phones, people do that kind of thing all the time.
Right.
But I have never researched what it would cost or if that service is even available to swap the laptop battery.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, because you're definitely not going to get. My MacBook Air is crazy light. It feels like my MacBook Air from when I had a 12-inch MacBook Air. It's about as light as that. And it, you know, so I don't know. I mean, it sucks that we have to, we have to trade certain things for that, you know, the environment. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a tough call.
It is a tough call.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
I gotta admit, I like computers. I love computers, but I don't like a lot of the things that computers have brought about, which is destruction of the earth, use of natural resources, and then, you know, the internet itself has caused a whole lot of problems.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, like, I have a lot of friends like you that I would never know without the internet.
That is true, actually. I mean, a lot of us, the four of us, you know, we wouldn't know each other. I mean,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good point. I'd be a hermit in a cave by myself, like I'm, you know, typical Clay.
But you're making that sound appealing. I kind of like that dream. I'm getting there. The older I get, the more I want to be there.
Anyway, the four of us can be cavemen together in one cave. Let's just move to, don't move to Florida. Florida sucks. We got to find a place that makes, you know, that makes sense.
But what happens if Vic finds a way to wire up his kickers?
You know, I think I might put up with that over what we have outside. Come on.
Maybe. I don't know about cave kickers, though. I don't want it. I'm not there for that. All right, Clay.
Yes.
Think we should probably, I for sure should go back to work.
Yes,
go to
work. Yes. But yes. This is fun. Thank you.
Oh, man, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah. It was a blast. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. What do you want to point people at currently? What are you? Ooh, I could put you on the spot. I could make you point people to things, and then you have no chance but to come off hiatus with it, or no choice but to.
Well, the thing is that the podcast still is, it's sort of like a podcast that can, you know, it's not like a, you know, the Through My Lens with Clay Daly is not, what do you call it, time
right,
sensitive?
It's not time sensitive. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's evergreen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Evergreen. Everclay. It's Everclay.
Everclay.
Yeah, so people can go to check out Through My Lens with Clay Daly. They can check out Most Valuable Photography Podcast. I think I might be on an episode of Bubble Sword. I mean, that it's still a show, isn't it? I think it's a show.
Yeah, supposedly there's an episode that will be released.
Yeah, so people can hear me on that if they would like to hear me, I don't know, however many months ago that was.
Talking about who knows what now.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, and I'm CWDLE everywhere, so.
Yes. Maybe I'll mention you on Mastodon once in a while.
Oh, cool. I'm not like Vic. I do check my Mastodon more often than Vic.
I will give Vic credit for one thing, though. I told somebody it's going to be a month before Vic sees this, and he saw it like within the same week, so that was actually pretty impressive.
He's upgraded his notification game, I guess, or something.
Yeah, he's either got notifications turned on, which is not how anybody should live, or... he's got, or he just was checking randomly. You know. Yep. All right. Thank you, Clay.
Yeah, thank you. It's a blast.